Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I may have to switch mics mid-sermon, as the light is flashing, you will notice. It's not that I'm alarmed, although I'm alarmed at having to tackle this topic of joy. No, I'm not really. I'm looking forward to it. Relishing it, in fact. So we're in this series on the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we looked at love, and today we're looking at joy. And what's the opposite of joy, would you say? Sadness. Misery? Despair. Joylessness. Joylessness versus joyfulness. Which one do you think Christians should exhibit? Easy question, surely. Joyfulness. Do you think when the average person thinks of church people, they think of joyful people? Or do you think they think of... do you know, somebody said joylessness is a sin. It's a sin for a Christian to be joyless. I don't know if you agree with that. And it's the most tolerated sin in the church. Not this church, of course. As we all know, this church is, you know, there's no perfect church. This is about the nearest you'll get. So joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. I like this passage from a book I've got here, The Life You've Always Wanted by John Ortberg. John Ortberg is one of the most quotable people when it comes to preaching. Those of you who are budding preachers, buy some John Ortberg books. You get some great quotes in it. Anyway, John Ortberg's the father of three children, and he says that bath time can be very interesting. Anybody have bath times in their house right now? Were you actually bath children? Yeah, good time, yeah?
Busy.
Loud. Yeah? Four at a time?
Yeah.
Wow. Four at a time. Well, this man, he used to do three at a time. It was a while ago, and it might be that for some of you, you know, as well. Has anybody done it in the past, but you're not actually engaged in that right now? Yeah, yeah. Some time ago, I was giving a bath to our three children. I had a custom of bathing them together, trying to save time. I knew that eventually we'd have to stop the group bathing, but for the time being, it worked. Johnny was in the tub, Laura was out, safely in her pyjamas, and I was trying to get Mallory dried off. Mallory was out of the water, but was doing what's come to be known in our family as the dee-da-da dance. It consists of her running around in circles, singing over and over again, dee-da-da, dee-da-da. It's a relatively simple dance. We could try it, actually. When she's too happy to hold it in any longer, that's what she does. When words are inadequate to give voice to her euphoria, she has to dance to release her joy. So she does the dee-da-da. On this particular occasion, I was irritated, and she was doing the dee-da-da. Mallory, hurry up, I said. So she did. She ran around faster, singing dee-da-da. No, that's not what I mean, I said, Mallory. Stop the dee-da-da stuff and get over here so I can dry you off. Hurry up. Then she asked a very profound question. Why? I had no answer. I had nowhere to go. I had nothing to do. No meetings to attend. No sermons to write. I was just used to hurrying up. I was so preoccupied with my little agenda, so trapped in this rut of moving from one task to another, that here was life and here was joy, and here was an invitation to the dance right in front of me, and I said, hurry up. So I got up, and Mallory and I did the dee-da-da dance together. She said I was pretty good at it too, for a man of my age. Reflecting on this afterwards, I realised I tend to divide my minutes into two categories. Living and waiting to live. Most of my life spent in transit, trying to get somewhere. Waiting to begin, driving someplace, standing in a queue, waiting for a meeting to end, trying to get a task completed, worrying about something bad that might happen, or being angry about something that has happened. These are all moments when I'm not likely to be fully present and not likely to be aware of the voice and purpose of God. I'm impatient. Drying off the kids was just something I was trying to get through. Ironically, often the thing that keeps me from experiencing joy is my preoccupation with myself. The very selfishness that keeps me from pouring myself out for the joy of others keeps me from noticing and delighting in the myriad of small gifts that God offers every day. That's why Walker Percy describes boredom as the self stuffed with the self. Boredom, eh? I'm bored. We get bored so easily, don't we? The self stuffed with self. Mallory didn't get bored. Life wasn't like that for Mallory. Herself was unstuffed. She just lives. When she's taking a bath, it's a dee-da-da moment. When it's time to get dried, that's another one. After she's dry, it'll be time for another one. Life's a series of dee-da-da moments for Mallory. Not every moment in life is happy, of course. There are occasions that call for tears. Sometimes she skins her knees. But each moment has a possibility of being a dee-da-da moment. Mallory doesn't miss many of them. She's teaching me about joy. And I need to learn. Joy is at the heart of God's plan for human beings. Joy is at the heart of God himself. We'll never understand the significance of joy in human life until we understand its importance to God. I suspect that most of us seriously underestimate God's capacity for joy. We have a joyful God. That's what he's like. He's a dee-da-da God. He dances over you and sings over you. And he's joyful. Now I know you might think, didn't he say Jesus was a man of sorrows? Yes, it does. He was a man of sorrows over the sin and the world and the grief and the results of sin. And the fact that the penalty of sin had to be paid and sin brings grief to people. But essentially, God's character and Jesus' character are characters of joy. When it says he's a man of sorrows in Isaiah 53, it's referring to the cross. It's referring to Calvary. It's referring to him bearing our sin. That's out of character for Jesus. He came to veil his glory, to die for us. But the essential Jesus, the effulgent Jesus, what a great word that is, isn't it? Effulgent. Remember Mr. Raggett? Who remembers Mr. Raggett? Not many of us now, eh? But a few of us used to go like this. Ooh, John, isn't he effulgent? Isn't Jesus wonderful? Ooh, the effulgence of God. He used to really enjoy certain words. Effulgence. Jesus is the effulgence of God. Manifest God's glory. The question for you and me is, are we joyful people or joyless people? As I said, joylessness is a sin. A serious sin. Where does it say joy is a sin? Well, I probably can't find the verse that actually says that it's a sin, but we know that God intends for us to be joyful. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. That's why I've said these things to you. What, even in this world, God? Yes, even in this world. I've spoken these things to you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy may be full. He desires us to be like him. What if God was like us? Ortberg again here, he's imagining the book of Genesis, the first few chapters, if God was like us. In the beginning it was 9 o'clock, so God had to go to work. He filled out a requisition slip to separate light from darkness. He considered making stars to beautify the night and planets to fill the skies, but he thought it sounded like a lot of work. And besides, he thought, it's not really my responsibility. So he decided to call it a day. He looked at what he'd done that day and he said, that'll have to do. Second day, God separates the waters from the dry land, makes the dry land flat, plain, functional, like Lincolnshire. So that behold, the whole earth looked like Lincolnshire. Or Idaho. Or Holland. He thought about making mountains and valleys and glaciers and jungles and forests, but he said it was a lot of effort. He looked at what he'd done and said, that'll do for today. God made a pigeon to fly in the air and a carp to swim in the waters and a cat to creep on the ground. God thought about making millions of other species of all sizes and shapes and colours, but he couldn't draw up the enthusiasm. In fact, he wasn't too crazy about the cat he'd made. Besides, it was always time for the late show. So God looked at what he'd done and he said, that'll do. And at the end of the week, God was seriously burned out. So he breathed a big sigh of relief and said, thank me, it's Friday. Of course, that's not true. God looked, made wonderful things, intricate, amazing, beautiful, and said, isn't that good? That's very good. That's beautiful. Look at that. You know, joylessness does damage. Is a joyless Christian a good advert for being a Christian?
Hello. Good to see you. Glad you could come.
James Joyce's book, Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man, his hero is a man called Stephen Dedalus.
Stephen Dedalus.
Anyway, he wants to become a priest, but he decides not to because he's worried what will happen to his face. How it would become like the faces of other religious people that he knows. A mirthless mask, he says, reflecting a sunken day. Sour-faced and devout, shot with pink tinges of suffocated anger. How often have people misunderstood God because they attribute to him the grim, judgmental, defensive, soul-wearying spirit of many who claim to be his followers? Wow, it is a sin, you know. Joylessness. We're meant to be like God, aren't we? He wants us to be like him. He's a joyful God. Joylessness, on the other hand, is a learned skill. You are not naturally joyful, are you? Some of us are. Some of us seem to be happy all the time. I mean, is that the way we're born, or do we cultivate it? I put it easy, you can cultivate joyfulness. You can become joyful if you're not a joyful person. You really can. And even in the middle of what's maybe difficult times, you can still be joyful. People who knew Mother Teresa, friends of her, said, when she walked around amongst all the suffering and the misery of Calcutta, you'd have think it would have overwhelmed her. But it didn't. She seemed to spread joy wherever she went. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, prisoner of war, World War II, imprisoned for criticising Nazis. There was an English officer in prison with him. He said, wherever Dietrich Bonhoeffer was, it was like a happy atmosphere. And he was killed in 1944 by the Germans. But wherever he went, he made people happy. In the midst of squalor and suffering. Because what you've got inside you as a Christian is a joyful God. You've got the Spirit of God inside you, haven't you? There's joy in there. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I know them all, I'm just testing you. Go on. Come on, come on. Gentleness and self-control. Well done, Bernadette. Go to the top of the class. You can sit in front here and be my monitor. So joyfulness is a learned skill. You have to take responsibility for your joy. Joy is being defiant against what's going on around you. Joy is being defiant against bitterness. Defiant against resentment. Did you say in Psalm 118, this is the day that the Lord has made? Anybody finish that off? I will rejoice and be glad in. Which day are we talking about? This is the day I will rejoice and be glad about. This one, isn't it? Today. This is the day I'm going to rejoice. Yesterday I was miserable. Well, that's finished. From now on, I'm going to rejoice. Sounds like it's a decision, doesn't it, when you read that verse? This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So how is it possible to be a joyful person in a pain-filled world? Well, you have to be heroic. You have to say, I'm not giving in. I'm not going under. This doesn't look good, but I know Jesus wins in the end. The end of the world is Jesus wins. The end of the world is Jesus comes again and every knee bows and says Jesus is Lord. Either voluntarily or mandatory. And he establishes a new heaven and a new earth here, where we live. Jesus is the victor. Whose side you want to be on forever? Don't fancy the lake of fire, me, at all. I fancy being with Jesus. He throws good parties, doesn't he? Jesus. You have a good time when you're with Jesus. You can be very happy in Jesus' presence. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let us rejoice and be glad because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But now, let's look at some other verses that tell us that God wants us to be joyful. Isaiah 65. Let's open our Bibles at 12 o'clock. You've been speaking 15 minutes and we've not opened our Bibles yet. John, this is not a good sermon. Isaiah chapter 65, verses 13 and 14. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will go hungry. My servants will drink, but you will go thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be put to shame. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts. Well, he's talking to us, isn't he? He's talking to those who believe in him, those who follow him. They will eat, they'll drink, they'll rejoice, and they'll sing out of the joy of their hearts. That's God's followers. That's the kind of people he wants us to be. And then, later on, same chapter, verse 18. Be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem. I'll take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. God is a joyful God. He takes delight in things. He takes delight in you. Look at the person next to you and think, wow, he takes delight in you. Even you. Just say that to them, even you. He says also in Isaiah that even prayer is to be joyful. You ever been to some prayer meetings that are not very joyful? Wonder when it's... Been going on a bit this, haven't it? Come on. While our brother's finishing his prayer, let's sing a hymn. You know, long prayers. Somebody once prayed, dear Lord, you may have read in the Guardian this morning. I carried on praying something else. You know, some people say some silly prayers, don't they? But the prayer room is meant to be a joyful place. If you go to the prayer room and it's a bit flat, liven it up. You've got joy in you. Stand up and be heroic.
Start worshipping, praising God. That's what lifts it. That's what lifts it when you start praising God. And ushering in His Spirit. God Himself is joyful. Do you know Jesus said, nobody can take your joy away unless you allow them to. John 16, verses 20 to 22. Your sorrow will be turned to joy. Your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. The only person who can allow your joy to be taken from you is you yourself. The devil wants to take it from you. You don't have to let him. That's what he likes to do. He's a thief, isn't he? He steals things. He's the Fagin of the spiritual world. He just steals. He wants to steal your joy. But nobody can take your joy unless you allow them to. Because you have the Holy Spirit in you. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Nobody can take it away from you. How much joy do you want? Perhaps just a tad to get me through the day. Jesus said you can have large measures of joy. John 16:24. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be around somewhere if you really search hard for it. No, that your joy might be full. The Holy Spirit's a joy giver. Luke 10:21. It says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Hey, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. That's what you want, isn't it? We're full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy for you lot, right now, through the Holy Spirit. It's better than the world's best. God's joy is better than the world's best. You fill my heart with greater joy than they have when their grain and their new wine abound. Psalm 4 verse 7. When do you see the people in the world looking at their most happy? Sometimes it's when they've had a drink. You fill my heart with greater joy than when their grain and new wine abound. Or when they've received something big. And that would be like this, when your grain abounds and when you've earned a lot. Your joy will be greater than that. Greater joy than the world's best. Joy is part of the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17. What's the kingdom of God like? Kingdom of heaven? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what it's like. Righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Bernard of Clairvaux, who lived in the 1200s and the 1300s, he wrote this: happy is he, and holy too, to whom it has been given, here in this mortal life, rarely, or even once, for one brief moment only, to taste this kind of love. It is no merely human joy to lose oneself in God. So be emptied of yourself. As though once almost ceased to be at all, it is the bliss of heaven. Bernard Clairvaux is saying, you on earth right now, you can experience the bliss of heaven. And he experienced it. Bernard did. He's not the only one. Anybody who read this book, Catch the Fire by Guy Chevreau? Guy Chevreau, back in 1994... got touched by a move of God in Toronto, and he had some people around for tea one night. And his wife's called Janice. So they invited these people around for a meal. But the fact is, my wife Janice, she got filled with joy as the guests were arriving. She was down on the floor as the guests came in. Hysterical with laughter. At one point, John Arnott, who's the senior pastor, prayed that she'd stay in this state for 48 hours. She was. She did. She stayed at that state for 48 hours. She was unable to walk a straight line sometimes. She was certainly unfit to drive or to host the guests that came for dinner. Usually when guests come for dinner, she prepares the meal in advance so we can focus our energies on talking to people when they arrive. When I returned home from work that particular night, the kitchen looked very unready for dinner. There was no food in sight. When I asked about the meal, because the guests were coming, Janice fell on the floor in laughter. I went out to buy fish and chips. On my return, our guests were already seated at the table. There were no place settings. Janice proceeded to toss hot, greasy fish to each one of us. She dumped the box of French fries in the middle of the table and pushed the little piles in respective directions of the guests, all the while finding everything very funny. The next evening I came forward for prayer. An invitation had been issued for anyone in pastoral ministry. I got prayed for, I fell down, I lay there thinking, I don't know this guy, did he pray for me with a heavy hand? Was I pushed? I came forward for prayer a second time, I was in a bad mood. Again I went down, as I lay there, I said, God, I don't care if this is you or not, I'm so tired, I'm just going to lie here. Then the preacher came up to Janice, who was next to me. And she was Looney Tunes again. Randy Clark prayed very gently for her, very quietly for me. I was weeping and she was laughing. She was full of the joy of the Holy Spirit. Well, I mean, that happened in 1994. But it also happened in the Great Awakening, Jonathan Edwards' wife. Jonathan Edwards' wife was... this is the Great Revival in Northampton, Massachusetts. 1735. Jonathan Edwards' wife. Every time they mentioned the Holy Spirit, she went past the door, just as they mentioned the words Holy Spirit, she fell over in laughing. And she laughed for days on end. And Jonathan was so worried about her laughing, he thought she was going to die from laughter. But eventually she stopped. What I'm saying to you, some people experience joy in excessive ways, maybe more than we've ever done. But we can all experience joy. In a measure, and the measure is meant to be full. Sometimes it's indescribable. What does 1 Peter 1:8 say? 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you do not see him, yet you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. The enemy doesn't like you being joyful. Do you know that? He wants you sad. That's what he's like. Joyful people are strong people. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy makes you strong.
Blaise Pascal's conversion. They found it in his jacket after he's died, his testimony. And he was praying to God and he was asking God's Spirit to touch him, and then he wrote these words on a little piece of paper and he put them in his inside jacket and he sewed the jacket, the pocket of the jacket, so that it would stay there. And they found it in his jacket after he died. And his words were fire. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Certainty. Emotion, joy, peace. God of Jesus Christ. Thy God shall be my God. Oblivion of the world and everything. Just God. Joy. Tears of joy. Quoted by John Eldridge in Journey of Desire. Now you are meant to have this joy. Is it possible for you to have this joy? I'm going to pray for you to have it. I want to pray that you will have this joy right now. Is it possible to put a bit of music on, Andy? Maybe not, it doesn't matter. But you know, smiles make people happy. Did you know that? Smiling faces make people happy. Proverbs: a cheerful heart is a good medicine. Proverbs 15:30: smiling faces make us happy. I don't know which version that is. It's on the King James version. I'm not sure it's the right kind of music I'm going to pray over. Could you do something sort of gentle stuff?